God, we thank you so much this morning we can come to you. Lord, we praise you because you are a great God. God, we pray that this morning, in spite of our smallness, our limitation, that we can come to our great God to learn to worship you, learn to hear from you, and learn to meet you. So Lord, we come before you as we are, and we pray and ask, not according to our weaknesses, but according to the riches of your glory and your love and your heart desire to be with us and to draw us to you. So Lord, we ask you to surpass all our limitations and open our hearts and ears to hear you so that we can see you. We can love you. Not only we can love you and learn to love you individually, but we can learn to love you in the body of Christ corporately. Lord, we ask you to take away all the distraction and hindrances so that we can come to you in boldness and in faith, so that we know that you are with us. We give glory to you. We praise you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last month, we looked at the first part of Ephesians chapter 3. This morning, we are going to focus on the last half of Ephesians chapter 3, which is verse 14 to 21. The theme I choose for this passage is knowing the love of Christ and intercession. Knowing the love of Christ and intercession. For this theme, the first thing I would like to point out is someone needs to pray. That is, in order to know the love of Christ, someone needs to pray. Last time we looked at the Apostle Paul, the prisoner of Christ, as said in verse 1, "For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles." For what reason? For the reasons he shared in the previous chapter 2, which are God's gracious salvation of the love on individuals and God's corporate womanship on his own dwelling place. This is the eternal purpose of God, which God himself has been working on and will accomplish in Christ for sure. Therefore, no matter how weak efficient Christians are, or what kind of outward bondage or pitiful situation they were at that time, Paul encouraged them not to lose heart at his tribulation. In fact, he encouraged them, saying that this, his imprisonment, in fact, is their glory. As he said in verse 13, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Before I move on, I would like to encourage every one of you to have your Bible ready on your hand, so that whichever passage referred to, we can turn to it and hear and read as well, so that we engage ourselves in God's word. At this point, Paul bowed down to pray for them. Verse 14. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, for this reason. For what reason? For the mystery of Christ mentioned in the previous chapter 3, first part. That includes the gospel of Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and the church of Christ through which the manifold wisdom of God can be shown. After laboring and preaching the mystery of Christ and the encouragement of not losing heart to Ephesians, Paul had an urge. He wanted to bow down to pray. He found that only God himself is able to strengthen them, to do real work on them. Without intercession, all Paul's labor and work and can't bring in real spiritual impact. On the other hand, Paul knew that God was so willing to listen to his intercessions for the Ephesians, because it was according to God's own eternal purpose. Paul knew that God wanted him to spend time on intercession to co-work with God. So Paul saw both the necessity of prayer and the promised effectiveness of prayer, so that at that time he bowed his knees to the Father to pray. Paul was in prison with chains on his feet. It seems that outwardly he won't be able to do anything in such a bondage. However, prayer is a very wonderful thing. We can be bound by physical confinement, but we can't be stopped doing interceding work, even in imprisonment. When I think of imprisonment, I think of an elderly brother who is now with the Lord. His brother Raymond Goldsworthy. At about 25 years old, he left England for India as a missionary, being sent by Austin Sparks and been invited to co-work with Brother Bhakt Singh of India. Many of you might not hear of them. Basically, they are faithful godly servants used by God in last century. When my children were young, our family sometimes go to Brisbane to visit friends during holidays. Whenever we were there, we like to go to visit Raymond, Brother Raymond, in his nursing home in Brisbane to seek fellowship. He was a cheerful man in his 90s. Raymond continued to co-work with God through intercession for others, even in his nursing home imprisonment, due to his aging body. I still remember he prayed for little Abraham when he was around 8. Do you want to be productive, to continuously bear fruit even when you are outwardly aging with limited health and mobility, like Raymond? I want to. If I need to live to old age. And I believe you want to too. In order to be able to do that, we need to learn interceding today while we are still fit and free, so that we can be trained and get ready to have the joy and peace and endurance to intercede, even in the midst of our physical illness or suffering in old age. Of course, this for young people, you are thinking too far away. But I still encourage you to learn interceding. In verse 14 and 15, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." Here in the original Greek, every family can be translated as all family, referring to all the whole family in heaven and on earth. This family is the whole household of God, composed of believing Jews and Gentiles. Both of them have access in one spirit to the one Father mentioned in chapter 2, verse 18, 19, and chapter 3, verse 6. This family includes all believers already gone with the Lord in heaven, and all believers still living on earth. We are the same one family with relationship with God being our Father. Each of us bears the name which show our relationship with the Father to be His children. Have you bowed your knees to intercede for someone you care for, you love? Have you experienced the more you pray, the more you pray for the person, the more the situation looks worse? I experienced. I believe you might as well. But don't lose heart. God always has His higher hand and wisdom in answering our intercession in His wonderful way and timing for His purpose and glory. I think of Monica, the mother of Augustine in the 4th century. She was married to a Roman pagan with bad temper, violent temper, and extramarital affairs. She loved her son, Augustine, who was living in promiscuity and in Eastern cult called Manichaeism, some strange religion, since his teenage years. You can imagine a mother's heart. What is the heart when she saw her beloved son go further away from the Lord? Later, Augustine reflected in his autobiography Confession, saying that at the age of 16, the frenzy gripped me and I surrendered myself entirely to lust. And he also had a famous prayer to God: grant me chastity and continence, but not yet. This is how he was. Monica loved her son so much, and the hurt cut so deep in her heart for Augustine's further and further away from the Lord. But she endured to pray. At the end, Monica's perseverance successfully co-worked with God's eternal purpose. God answered Monica's prayer in a very powerful and lasting, long-lasting way. Augustine repented at the age of 32 through a passage in Romans chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, which said, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, not sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. He became a useful servant for the gracious gospel of Christ. He once said, for grace is given not because we have done good works, but in order that we may be able to do them. A man, he knew grace. He also said, God, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. I also remember watching a testimony by a Chinese family a few years ago via YouTube. Last century, in 1993, Angela Yuan, being a proud atheist mother, just learned of her beloved, promising young man, 20 years old, son, to be gay. Her marriage broke down. She was heading to kill herself. On the way, she unexpectedly came across a gospel tract, which later let her know the Lord. Her husband, Leon, later also became a Christian, and the marriage was rebuilt. After believing in Jesus, Angela started to pray for her gay son, Christopher, who was also a drug addict and a drug dealer at that time, though she might not be aware of that yet. The more Angela prayed and prayed fervently, the more she find out the severity of her son's, Christopher's, drug dealing business. The more she prayed, the more the son got into bigger trouble, and at one time needed to face 10 years to life in federal prison for having the street value equivalent of 9 tons of marijuana. You can imagine his mother's heart. Still, the mom kept on praying. Christopher found later even to have HIV after many years of prayer by the mom Angela. Christopher later witnessed how God delivered him from drug addiction, saved him from homosexual behavior and relationship. He is now teaching Bible in Moody Bible Institute, focusing preaching the gospel and helping people with the same-sex attraction. Later, Angela and Christopher jointly wrote a book called Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope. This book published in 2011. In order for someone knowing the love of Christ, someone needs to pray. Now let us look at the second point. In order for someone knowing the love of Christ, what do we pray for? In verse 16 and 17, Ephesians chapter 3, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. We notice that Paul here was not praying to God to change the outward condition of Ephesians believers by taking away the difficulties or suffering. Rather, he prayed to God to strengthen their inner being with power. Which one you prefer? Facing the threat of COVID-19, you prefer a good, effective vaccine to increase your inner physical strength and immune system? Or you prefer to disinfect all the environment wherever you go to make all places to be completely free of COVID-19? Which one you prefer? Do you want a strong you being able to overcome germs? Or you want a weak you only able to live in a germ-free environment? Of course, a stronger you is what you want, what I want. This is also what God wants, you to be resistant to hardship and sin, because you and I are his workmanship. This is why Paul prayed for the inner being strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit. Also, think about when was the last time you prayed fervently for someone you care. What is the last time? At that time, what motivated you to pray for him or her? Was it in a time of helpless situation or outward hardship? Was it in a time of pitiful condition of the weaknesses or even sinfulness of the one you care for? So naturally, we'll pray according to the severity of this problem. Rather, pray according to the riches of God's glory mentioned in these verses. Paul was not praying to God, asked him to grant a little bit of mercy, which is sufficient to fix our outward or inward problem. Paul saw the eternal purpose of God is so great, glorious. God is so gracious that he prayed according to the riches of the glory of his purpose to be shown in the midst of our problems. He prayed for the ultimate victory for God's purpose on the people he interceded. I don't know how Monica or Angela pray for their beloved sons, but I believe they have learned not to be discouraged by individual disappointing so-called different outcome, micro outcomes in the course of prayer. Maybe as they pray, they find out that the outcome is disappointing. As they pray, the outcome is even getting worse. But they still persevere to pray. They learn to pray according to the riches of the glory of God for his eternal purpose. Although they might not have heard of this name, this term, eternal purpose of God, but they pray. That's why they could pray with perseverance and endurance, with hope, and even thankfulness in faith. At the end, the deeper problems there are, the greater the grace of the glory of God can be manifested. Paul, as the intercessor, prayed for Ephesians' inner being to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit. When you pray for your loved ones, have you found even yourself are so weak and needed the power through the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, strengthen your own inner being? I do. I'm always frustrated. So weak, so inconsistent I am. So that I can't pray and intercede as I should. When you see the one you care is weak, so that you want to pray for him or her, so that her inner being can be strengthened, then you will see the need to pray for yourself, to ask God to strengthen your inner being with power, so that you yourself can be an effective intercessor. Then you need to pray according to the riches of his glory, but not according to your own weak and even pitiful situation. I believe one of the reasons why Monica and Angela could succeed in interceding for their sons is that as they intercede, they themselves experience God's transforming mission work for them to become women of prayer with a strengthened inner being. Like Paul exhorted men and women in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, Paul said, I desire that in every place the man should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise, also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. The transformation of the inner being of the intercessors can be an outcome of intercession. For example, a father, when he interceded for his daughter, at the start he might ask God to do something to transform his daughter. as he understands God's heart more on his daughter's knees through intercession. The father shall be maybe willing to co-work with God to be a more suitable vessel to be used to enhance the transformation work from the Lord on the daughter. Due to the love for his daughter, he might be at some stage willing to say to God, "Change my daughter, Lord, but I'm willing for you to change me first if you need to." Actually, many times, the building or rebuilding of relationship between parents and children in communication and trust can be used by God in transforming the children. The more the inner being of the intercessor is strengthened and transformed, the more effective he or she can be an intercessor for the interceder one, the one he loved, on that prayer matter. James chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, James said, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that he might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." Here said, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. May these words encourage us to live a righteous life before God by the blood of Christ and the grace of Christ, so that we can learn to be an effective intercessor for the one we love. We move on to verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 3. "So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love." Why did Paul ask God to strengthen the Ephesians' inner beings? To be more exact, it is not directly for resisting or overcoming inward sin or outward hardship. It is for Christ to dwell in our hearts. Our inner beings need to be strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit so that Christ can dwell in us through faith. Only when Christ can dwell in our inner beings, we can be rooted and grounded in love, in his love. When we are more rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, we can be more resistant to sin and hardship, because we are grounded in his unfailing, unchanging love. The word dwell in the original New Testament Greek is the root verb of the noun dwelling place of chapter 2, verse 22. It means simply settle in. How can Christ dwell in our hearts? We need to be strengthened in faith. Paul doesn't say, "Christ may go to your heart as a polite visiting guest." But he once stayed not only in the guest room or lunch, but walk around to whatever inner rooms, including any hidden storage and private parts of your heart, as he wants to. It would be very rude for him to do so. if he's only a guest. But he doesn't want to be a guest. If he come, he wants to be the master. He's not interested to be a guest in your heart. He wants to be a master. The master of your whole being. We need faith for Christ to dwell in our hearts. Can you trust him? Are you willing to ask Christ to dwell in your heart? Are you willing to trust him? Or are you like the father of the demon-possessed son, crying out to the Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Let each one of us, let Christ take root in our heart. Let ourselves take root and grounded in his love. That's why Charles Spurgeon said, faith is the root and love is the flower. We need to always trust him in order to always love him. For all this to happen, someone needs to pray. In order for the Ephesians knowing the love of Christ, Paul needed to pray. In order to Augustine knowing the love of Christ, Monica need to pray. In order for Christopher knowing the love of Christ, Angela needed to pray. In order for someone knowing the love of Christ, someone needs to pray. In order for the one you care, knowing the love of Christ, you need to pray. Maybe you are a parent caring for your children, a son or daughter caring for your parents, a Sunday school teacher or helper caring for your students, a brother or sister caring for someone in the church, a husband or wife caring for the spouse. The ultimate goal of our care is for the one we care, for him or her to know the love of Christ. In this case, we need to learn to bow our knees, to intercede for them and for ourselves as intercessors. Only the Holy Spirit can do the real work of helping a person to know the love of Christ. Do you love the one you care so much that you're willing to intercede for them? Do you love him or her so much that you yourself is willing to be transformed by God in order for the loved one, the one you love, knowing the love of Christ? In order to know the love of Christ, someone needs to pray. Someone needs to be an intercessor. Someone needs to be willing to be transformed by God to be an effective intercessor. May we be the blessed one to get the ball start rolling for knowing the love of Christ. Let us move on to verse 18.
to first part of 19.
May the strength to comprehend, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. How to know the love of Christ? Paul said here, in order to comprehend the love of Christ, we need strength. Why do we need strength in order to know the love? Think about this. Think about your parents, how they love you. Do your parents love you? I hope so. I believe so. At least for majority people. Do they love you enough? Perhaps you think of you not. Is their love perfect? Obvious not. Are they perfect? The parents perfect? Absolutely not. How can an imperfect person love perfectly? Of course not. But generally speaking, our parents love us. But if you are the special case that you don't have love from your parents, may our Heavenly Father comfort your heart with His surpassing love, so that you don't need to be lack of any love. Even your parents have their limitation. But normally, our parents love us. Think about their sacrifice, how they sacrifice their health, their time, their sleep, their money, their hobbies, even their ambitions, in order to raise you up. How they think ahead and plan and find opportunities and different ways to improve your well-being. Whatever may be good for you, they are willing to consider, providing if they are able to. These are parents. Are these love? Yes. But if you still are not sure, think this way. Think about how much time you think of the well-being of your parents, and think ahead for them, and plan for them, and find opportunities and ways and actual actions to improve their well-being. By comparison, it's not hard to appreciate better the love of parents. God knows very well of the lacking of this tendency from the children's side, caring for the parents. So God emphasizes grown-up children should learn to honor their parents. But anyway, what I try to establish here or share here is the normal parents do love their children. Think about this. Do you need strength to comprehend and receive this parental love? Does a baby need strength or anything to receive? You don't. Yes, you may need a bit of wisdom in order to appreciate this parental love better. But you basically don't need any strength or to receive this parental love. You just receive. However, why Paul said we need strength to comprehend the love of Christ? That kind of love, we need strength to comprehend. I think one of the reasons is that parental love is more of one direction. The parents love and the children are loved. To comprehend and receive the love of parents doesn't need much strength or even love to receive. But to comprehend the deep, intimate love between husband and wife, you need the mutual love towards one another between husband and wife. Both husband and wife need to accept one another. Both need sacrifice. Both need to be transparent. Both need to trust one another. In order to enjoy the intimate oneness of the marriage love between them. For the love of Christ requires similarity, both directions. It is a love between husband and wife. This is how Paul said, it's a great mystery. Christ and the church. Husband and wife. Now we can understand better why we need strength in order to even comprehend the love of Christ. We need to love Christ with our heart and strength and action in order to know and experience deeper in the love of Christ. That's why we need to let Christ dwell in our hearts for us to root and ground firmly in His love, so that we can have His love to love Him. Only this way we can comprehend better the love of Christ. All this is not by ourselves, but by the grace of God. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit strengthening our inner man through revelation and faith. How do we comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ? The answer is to comprehend the love of Christ with all the saints by loving other saints and being loved by them. Have a loving relationship with other saints. Then you can know better. Comprehend how wide and long, how high and deep the love of Christ is. Because of time, I need to cut short. We don't have time to describe how, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ. But indeed, the love of Christ is so wonderful, so big, so great, so good. We praise God. We can be the object of His love. And we can be the sharer of that love. We can love Christ by serving Him, by loving our fellow brothers in Christ, including male brothers and female brothers, fellow saints in Christ. Because of time, may I invite each one of you to reflect on the following two questions. In the last half years, since the start of COVID-19 restriction on church meetings, how much you have been actively engaged together with other saints, engaged to be with them? Question number two, how much in the last half year you have comprehended the love of Christ? The Bible said here very clearly, in order to know the love of Christ, we have to know it with other saints. I believe some of you have been actively engaged with other saints together. Praise God for you. If your answer is no, I pray that the previous COVID-19 restriction can motivate you to treasure genuine fellowship with other saints. If you find that in the last half a year, your knowledge and experience in the love of Christ, it seems that getting less and less. Your heart is getting colder and colder. Your heart is getting more indifferent. May this phenomenon motivate us to pursue, to make an effort to be engaged with other saints. Surpassing our limitation, surpassing the limitation of the environment. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24-25, he said, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So, in order to know the love of Christ, firstly, someone needs to pray. Secondly, we need to be together with other saints. We have some application. So try to get hold of opportunities to spend time with brothers and sisters. Surpassing the barriers, whether the barriers is outward restriction or the barriers is the individual personality. Come to meet at Auburn, face to face if you can. Engage in the gathering. Engage in listening to message. Engage in remember the Lord before his table. And pray and share. Pray in your heart. Pray outwardly with your mouth. Engage to encourage one another. Take the opportunity to talk to people. So we now have some informal practice. After the English meeting, some people, they go to coffee shop nearby to have morning tea, not at the deck, outside. But you need to pay for, you need to spend a bit of money. But this is opportunity to catch up, to encourage one another. And also in December, we will have, God willing, we will have a weekend away. A few days in a campsite. Although you might say, very inconvenient, COVID-19 restriction. But we can learn to surpass those hindrances. Because we want to know the love of Christ. Because we know that in order to know the love of Christ, we have to with other saints. Otherwise, we can't understand. We can't experience the breadth, the depth, the length, the height of the love of Christ. Because of the time, I have to stop here. Let us pray. Now we are amazed how great your love is.
But we are amazed how great is our God. Lord, help us to see the riches of your glory so that we can come to you in boldness to pray and to let you dwell in our hearts so that we can really know your love, so that we can love you. So that you can have the glory and heart desire . We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to sing a hymn, Stand in Awe, hymn number 105. Stand in Awe.